I want to share with you from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11 this morning as I read these. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosening the coat?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father God, as we pause this morning on this Palm Sunday, removed 2 millennia ago, I pray, oh God, that you would help each one of us here today to see the importance of life, to see the importance of choices that we make in life, to see the most important choice of all is reaching out through faith and receiving the wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, thank you for this church family. Thank you for everyone that walks through the doors of this church. I pray, oh God, that in the days to come, that we might be a blessing to your kingdom's work, to this community. Thank you for the way, God, you have blessed this church, that we are able to do so many missional projects throughout our city, as well as our state, as well as through our nation and the world through the cooperative giving. God, bless your people this day. Speak to our hearts, I pray, that we could take something that's applicable to apply to our hearts and lives each day. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, let me ask you a question this morning. It's a very sobering question. It's a question I often ask myself throughout the week, whether I'm driving up and down the roads, going to various places for visitation or whatever it might be. But I want to ask you a question today. If you found out that you had only 1 week to live, what would that week find you doing? If you only had 1 week to live and you knew it, what would the week find you doing? This morning, as we come to this Palm Sunday, young people, there were two processions that entered Old Jerusalem on that spring day back in the year AD 30. The beginning of the week was Passover week. And young people, we've talked about Passover. You remember it was one of the greatest, highest, most religious of all days for the Jewish people. It went back to the book of Exodus, when the nation of Israel were down in Egyptian bondage under the rule of Pharaoh, and God had raised up Moses, the deliverer, to bring his people out of some 400, 450 years of Egyptian bondage. You will remember that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh was not going to let God's people go, and so God sent 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt. And one of those plagues was when the death angel would pass through the area to take the firstborn of the Egyptians and their stock. Moses was told by God to tell the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, to take the blood of their animal that they had sacrificed and dip a little weed called the hyssop branch and to put it over the doorpost. And so when the death angel came and passed, he would pass over when he saw the blood. So Passover became a great feast day, a great festival day for the Jewish people. And so as we celebrate this Palm Sunday this morning, in honor of what took place as Jesus began his final week on this earth. The beginning of the week being Passover, the most sacred week of the Jewish year. And today, all over the world, youth, people are celebrating this day. It would climax some 2,000 years ago into Good Friday and Easter to follow on that Sunday morning. One of those two processions on that day was just the common people of the day. It was just the plain, ordinary people of the day, which included the working class and the peasants. There would be those following Jesus from the east as Jesus rode this donkey that Mark records there. And of course, that donkey would be a symbol of peace for the Jewish people. As Jesus and the crowd descended across the Mount of Olives, and as they were coming down, there were the shouts, there were the cheers, there were the throngs of people that had gathered in that procession. But there was another procession that was coming from the west. It would be the Imperial Roman procession. You see, coming from the opposite side of the city was Pontius Pilate. He was the governor there of Idumea and Judea and Samaria. And as they entered the city of Jerusalem, there was that impressive imperial Roman cavalry. Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus had a mission. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God while Pilate was proclaiming the power of the Roman Empire. Those two processions of people that gathered in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Two different perspectives, two different focuses, two totally different kingdoms. Youth, this would be where two worlds would collide, two different ones. It would end in the resurrection of Jesus on Friday, and then the consummation of the resurrection on Sunday morning. Pontius Pilate's military procession. It was a great demonstration of both Roman imperial power as well as Roman imperial theology. Though unfamiliar to most people today, the imperial process would have been well known by Mark in Mark's gospel. He would have known, and so would the followers of Jesus. It was the standard practice of the Roman governors of Judea. They would gather on Passover there in the city of Jerusalem, not so much to honor the religious devotion and tradition of the Jews, but they were there on behalf of the Roman government in order to make sure there were no plots of rebellion or insurrectionism. And so they were there to pretty much control the activity and the festivities of the day. And the mission of the troops with Pilate, of course, would be there to instill the Roman garrison and to make sure that things went smoothly on this particular day. If you could transport yourself back 2,000 years today as that Roman imperial procession arrived in the city of Jerusalem, what a visual demonstration of the glory and the power of the Roman Empire. Young people, there would be cavalry there on their horses, all of the foot soldiers with their leather armor. their helmets, all of their weaponry, their banners, the golden eagles that were mounted on poles, and as the sun would glitter on the metal and the go, it was quite a spectacle. The sounds of marching feet, the creaking of the leather, the rattling of the horses' bridles, and the beating of the drums on that day. As that procession arrived, there were many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of onlookers, young people. Some of them were there in curiosity. Some were there out of devotion. Some were there because they were awed. But there were many there that day who were resentful. For you see, according to Roman theology, the emperor was not simply the ruler of Rome, but he was considered the Son of God. And so you can only see where the Jewish religious leaders, they were highly upset because Jesus had proclaimed to be the Son of God, and that infuriated the Jewish religion of that day. And from this information, it's easy to see how these two world kingdoms would collide on that Palm Sunday morning. What took place on that Palm Sunday many centuries ago there in the city of Jerusalem, with those two processions coming into the city and the hundreds and the thousands as they shouted, as they waved the palm branches, young people, that's where we get Palm Sunday. They took branches from palm trees and they waved them like you and I would wave signs or a banner or whatever we might do in order to be in this great procession that was so showy on that particular day. But let me tell you, prior to Jesus's entering the city of Jerusalem 2 millennia ago, there were a couple of events that had taken place that would highlight and impact his ministry. One of those events, young people, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus stopped and he performed a miracle on a man by the name of Bartimaeus. He was blind. Jesus touched him and he was healed. And many of those onlookers, as they began to follow Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. But there was another event that day that highlighted Jesus' ministry that would also infuriate the religious leaders of the day, and that was Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You can only imagine how this added to the fuel of the fire of those who wanted to crucify Jesus. In fact, as Jesus came riding down the Mount of Olives, it would have been a great, powerful visual for those who were following, because there was a cemetery with graves there. They would walk right past that cemetery on the slope of the mount. The Mount of Olives is prominent in the ministry of Jesus. Think about the Mount of Olives. He walked this path back and forth many times to the city of Bethany. He spent many hours praying there on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here Jesus would be betrayed on that night by Judas Iscariot. Jesus would be arrested there in the garden. It would be there on the Mount of Olives that overlooked the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus would stand and weep over the city because of their rejection of him. It would be on the Mount of Olives that his disciples would watch him ascend back into heaven 40 days after the resurrection. And young people, it will be on the Mount of Olives where he sets his feet down when he comes back one of these days in his second coming. On that Passover day, some 2,000 years ago, two kingdoms would collide on that day. What a great contrast between these two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and Caesar's kingdom of Roman imperialism. But to the story of Jesus this morning, that's why you and I are here. The concentration and the confrontation between these two kingdoms were going to collide. The week will end on Friday with the crucifixion. by the powers who then ruled the world. But God would reverse what would take place on that day on Sunday morning when Jesus resurrected from the tomb. As they came into the city, young people, and they would scream their hosannas, hosannas. That word, young people, hosanna means save now. Unfortunately, on that Palm Sunday, not everybody was excited. Not everybody welcomed and celebrated the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem that day. Not everybody, young people, was crying, Lord, save. Not everyone welcomed this King of Peace, the Savior, the Messiah. Luke's gospel tells us that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus turned to them and said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. You see, with all of the excitement on that day, 2,100 years ago, young people, shouts, the pageantry, the parade, the multitudes of the people as they entered that day, on that Sunday morning, Jesus went to the temple. He looked around. He wanted to see what was taking place. It would culminate on one of the weekdays as Jesus would go in and do something that was incredibly significant. But all of those things that I just shared happened on Sunday. Now it's Monday. Jesus, his disciples, they leave Bethany and they head once again to the city of Jerusalem. Young people, Jesus was hungry and he sees in the distance a tree. It's a fig tree. It appears that it would have fruit on it. But when he gets closer, he realizes that there was nothing but leaves, and Jesus pronounced a curse on that fig tree on that Monday morning. It would be on this day that the court of the Gentiles, Jesus would go and he would drive out those that were perpetrating crimes and corruptness against the common people. It would be there he would drive out those that were buying and those that were selling. Jesus would turn over the tables of the money changers and those who were selling those doves. Young people, you see, the money changers that were there, they were trying to scam money off of the pilgrims who had come to pay the required tax that they had to pay, a half shekel that dealt with the measurement in grams of silver or gold. They had to pay a half shekel once a year for the temple tax. And many of them, they could buy the doves on the outside of the temple. But the problem was those who were running the show on the inside of the temple would find something about their bird that would not be wholesome enough to be sacrificed. So the people had to buy from those that were selling, and they were of the high priest house that was doing that. And so the corruptness that was going on, it infuriated Jesus. And Jesus went into the temple on that Monday, and he upset the money changers, and he drove them out of that place. Instead of his house being a house of prayer, Jesus said they had made it a den of thieves. On that Monday, those were some of the things that Jesus did and the things that happened. It's Tuesday in the morning of Passion Week. Jesus and those disciples, they're coming back, and all of a sudden, Peter sees the fig tree and he points out to it that the fig tree has withered from the roots. What looked like something that was thriving on the outside of both the fig tree as well as in the temple, neither one of them were bearing the desired fruit. And in both cases, the problem was a lack of the fruit that Jesus expected to be present. Young people, the fig tree was a representation. It was symbolic of Israel, the Jewish people. And Jesus was bringing charges against the Jewish religious leaders of the day. It was a profession. They professed something without practice. And we see that in the day that you and I live today. Many people profess lots of things. Many people profess Christ in our day, and yet they do not possess the inner Holy Spirit within them. On Tuesday of Jesus' last week, we call it, young people, Passion Week. It was a busy day for Jesus. In fact, he would spend two-thirds of the day on Tuesday in conflict with the temple authorities, those religious leaders, those that were out to get him. He would spend one-third of the day on Tuesday speaking with his disciples. He spoke with them about that Jerusalem would be destructed one day. And he also spoke to them about the end of times and what's going to happen. It had been a busy, emotional day. There had been conflict there at the temple in the afternoon. Jesus and the disciples, they're leaving the temple. Young people, that temple was an incredibly impressive edifice building. It was built with humongous stones. I mean, as they looked at that and they were talking to Jesus about how impressed that was, Jesus let those disciples know that not one stone would be left upon another. And let me tell you, that happened about 40 years later when a guy named Titus and the Roman army came into the city of Jerusalem and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. You see, Jesus' followers that day, those disciples that day, they wanted to know what's going to be the sign of all of this and what's going to be the sign of your coming and when are these things going to take place. And Mark's gospel says that they asked these questions while they were on the Mount of Olives. It's Wednesday of Passion Week, the last week of Jesus' life here on this earth. There was the scheming of the chief priest and the teachers of the law, and they were there. It would be the day that Mary of Bethany would take a very expensive perfume, young people. It would have been a year's wages in those days. She broke that flask of perfume and she put it on the body of Jesus. She took her hair and she dried his feet with it. Those disciples began to criticize her for what she had done. Jesus rebuked them. They didn't even understand. She was anointing Jesus for his burial that was to come. On that same Wednesday, the chief priest and the teachers of the law, as well as Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' supposed friends. They were all scheming, they were all plotting. What a contrast between Mary, who anointed Jesus, and the religious leaders, and the chief priest, and those who interpreted the law. What a contrast between those. Young people, it's Thursday morning of Passion Week. It's Thursday morning of the last week. On this day, many things would take place. There would be the upper room where Jesus gathered those disciples together. Remember, young people, he had his last supper with them on that night. It was on that night that they took the Lord's Supper. It was on that night that he instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus then he washed those disciples' feet as an act of hospitality, as an act of servitude, as an act of humility. It would be on that night Judas Iscariot would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It would be on that night that Jesus and the rest of those disciples left the upper room and they went out across the Kidron Valley back there to the Mount of Olives. It would be there Jesus would go into the Garden of Gethsemane. It would be there that Jesus would pray. Young people, you know what Jesus was praying that night? Jesus was praying to the Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, but for me to go to the cross. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was there Jesus would be arrested. It was there where all of those trials would take place, all of the many trials he went through throughout the night, from Annas, the high priest, to the former one, Caiaphas, the high priest, then to Pilate. And Pilate would send Jesus to Herod, and Herod would send Jesus back to Pilate. Oh, on that Thursday, so many things happened throughout that day and throughout that night. And Jesus was weary, and Jesus was tired. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever grow weary and tired in life? Do you ever grow weary? Do you ever become so engaged with all of the things that you have to do and all the things that you have to think about, that your mind just becomes so clouded and so crowded with all of the day's activity? Young people, Jesus knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be troubled in heart. Jesus knew what it was like to be troubled. Jesus knew what it was like when accusations that were false were made against him. Jesus understands what you're going through. Jesus knows all of those things. Thursday came, and then Friday dawned, Passion Week. Max Lucado writes this in one of his books. He says, when you think of the cross, what thought comes to your mind? Steeples? Gold necklaces? Churches? Or do your thoughts go beyond those to much deeper thoughts, to words like Jesus, nails, blood, pain, death, the tomb empty, joy, promise, life, Savior? You see, the words of the cross are so full of pain. They're full of passion. But the words of the cross are full of promise. What do you think of when you see the cross? God's promise, his promise to you, his promise to whatever it takes to save your soul. You know, there's a song that says, when I think of the cross, it moves me now. You see, the cross was what it would take, young people, to bring salvation and eternal life through the blood of Jesus to you and to me. Execution in the form of the cross was the preferred method of punishment for the Roman Empire. The cross was brutal, it was shameful, as well as excruciating and absolutely incredibly punishing. It was a way to punish. And on that Friday morning of Jesus' last week, from 9 o'clock in the morning, young people, until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus hung on the cross. He hung there for you. He hung there for me. He hung there for this world. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Young people, let me tell you, it turned to darkness on that afternoon when Jesus lifted up his eyes and told the Father to let his spirit come to him. Jesus spoke a word, tetelestai, which means it is finished. Jesus had done the work of salvation. He had paid the price for our sin, a price that you and I could never pay. We would never be able in a lifetime to do what Jesus did for us that day on the cross as Jesus hung there on that day. Let me tell you, there was a man, young people, by the name of Joseph. The Bible says he lived in a place called Arimathea. He went to Pilate because he loved Jesus so much. He didn't join into the Roman imperialism of the day for what they did to Jesus. But he went to Jesus and he asked for the body of Jesus. And they took Jesus, they anointed his body, they put him in a stone, they rolled the stone away. Let me tell you, Sabbath was coming quickly. And they exited the tomb. The Roman soldiers stood guard over the tomb there in case they were fearful that maybe Jesus' disciples would come and roll the stone away and steal the body of Jesus. And so the Roman guards stood there. That stone was so huge and so heavy, those Roman soldiers would not have been able to have moved. Those disciples would not have been able to have moved that stone. It's Saturday, and what did Jesus' disciples do, young people? Did you realize that all of those disciples at the cross ran away from the scene that day? Only John stayed at the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." Into thy hand, he said to the Father, I commend my spirit. Jesus died that day. Jesus identifies with death. Jesus identifies with our emotions. Jesus identifies with our intellect. Jesus identifies with our choices. Jesus identifies with our dominion over this earth and over his kingdoms to come one of these days. Young people, those disciples ran. They hid where? In the upper room. Why? Because they were afraid the Romans would come and get them and hang them on a cross because they had identified with Jesus. Saturday came. The body is lying in the tomb. The spirit is in the presence of the Father. Young people, that last week of Jesus' life, that's what he did. That's what was important to him. When he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. The disciples had run away. They had hidden the upper room. They were fearful. They were afraid. It looked as if everything that they ever hoped for in Jesus was suddenly and totally gone. But young people, praise be to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Friday came and Saturday came, but the best is yet to be. Sunday morning was just looming on the horizon. And next Sunday morning, we'll see the resurrected Christ in our sermon and what Easter means to you and me. If you only had 1 week to live your life, how would you spend your last week? Because none of us know. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 1, boast not about tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. So what should each one of us apply this morning? Number one, we should live our last week every day of life and do the things that would be the most productive, that would be the most important things of all, because you don't know what a day or what a week is going to bring forth. Would you stand as we pray together?